Do it. Yeah?
I don't know that our music sounds like that.
No.
Yeah. No.
That's our new one.
That's the new one? Yeah. I think it's a step up, I would say.
Yeah. Been working on that one for a while.
I can tell, right? You went through many revisions.
Welcome to Robot NA number 92, the podcast for the website nerdappropriate.com, where we talk about all things nerdy, or at least that we care about, like comics and games and TV. So, nerdy or not, if we like it, we might talk about it. We talked about it last week, who knows? So, we are down one member today. Hillary is out.
I think she's got some adult business to take care of today.
That's what we hear, adult things. She's doing adult things.
She is doing adult things. That's her other career that she doesn't like to talk about. She does adult things.
It's just a boys club today, guys.
I know. Brocast.
Whip out our dongs and do a podcast.
Whoa.
How exciting.
I've never liked that word, dong. I don't like it when people call it dong.
The dong.
Like, I use that as a joke word, but I hate it when people refer to male genitalia as dongs.
I don't hear that word a lot. Dong.
That's so weird.
I don't hear it a lot at all.
You don't hear dong very often anymore?
No, I don't.
Why does everybody keep running up to me and yelling the word dong then?
I don't know.
How strange.
Next time I see you, I'm going to have to do that.
Let's do the rundown.
Today on the podcast, we're going to talk a little bit more about Star Wars movie news, which will never stop. Justice League results from the DICE Awards that were held recently, and a new Dreamcast game, maybe. And in our reviews, we're going to talk about House of Cards, co-op for Dead Space 3, Community returns to television, and The Dark Knight Returns Part 1 and 2. And then in our Nequato this week, we're going to talk about Assassin's Creed 4 because it was recently announced that the next Assassin's Creed game will take place in a different setting with a different character. So our question to you is, where and when should Ubisoft's newly announced AC game take place? What would you love to see?
Yeah.
Yeah. I have some ideas.
I do too. I have a lot of great ideas.
Mm-hmm. So what have you guys been up to?
Oh, I beat you to it.
Ash, why don't you go first, since you never go?
Oh, man.
It's a short one.
What have I been up to in the 4 or 5 days since we last talked? since we recorded. Here's a secret that you guys don't know. We recorded episode 91 on Tuesday, and Scott, being a crazy monster, stayed up and put the episode out as soon as we finished it.
You guys were like one take mavens. There was very little editing.
We did.
Required.
We didn't have any mess ups, really.
You said to us, guys, can we really hammer down on this one so we can just do it and I can just throw it up? And we were like, sure. And then we did it.
We focused.
Making things happen.
That means on this one, I'm going to try and fuck up on purpose as much as possible.
I'll still dedicate the same amount of time to posting it. So you can feel free to do whatever you want.
True. So what have I been doing? Let's see. I picked up Dead Space on Tuesday. I think we talked a little bit about that last week.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously got a little bit further in the campaign, and that's a lot of fun. And this is going to sound like a broken record, but I've been playing Borderlands 2 still. I've been playing like a couple of my alt characters. That's been a lot of fun.
Wow.
Played a bit with Scott this morning. Played some with my buddy Derek. So that's been going well. See what else? Oh, I ordered all the Witcher novels, at least the ones that have been translated into English, and I haven't actually started reading them yet. But they actually just came in the mail the other day, so I'm going to start prepping for Witcher 3.
Are you going to do that second playthrough?
Eventually, yeah. I'm in more of a, I kind of go through phases. I go through shooty phases and then RPG phases, and right now I'm definitely in a shooty phase, and that'll probably last for another week until I can't bear the sight of a digital gun, and then I'll go back to a digital sword.
Will you be picking up Aliens Colonial Marines? I think that's next Tuesday.
Is that Tuesday?
It is. Oh. I'm obligated to pick it up for a number of reasons. One, huge fan of the franchise. Two, of course, huge fan of games. So I'm excited for it. It's kind of weird that we were talking about this morning. There aren't any reviews up at all yet, which obviously means the embargo hasn't been lifted yet for reviews. But it seems really late for that. So every time that happens, I get a little apprehensive.
But sometimes with the big games, they don't do it until like day before release. Like they wait, they hold off till Monday, and then the game comes out.
That's true. I'm hoping that whenever the embargo is lifted, that it's all going to be nice, because it's bum me the fuck out if I see that it's a terrible game.
Yeah.
It has been in development for like over 6 years, though.
It has. A very long time.
Yeah. It's been a really long and painful cycle for it. So, what about you guys? What have you been doing?
Which one? You must choose. What
about you, Matt? What have you been doing?
Oh, me? Still in life decision mode.
Oh, no.
Yeah, whatever. It's fine. It snowed a whole hell of a lot here last night while I was sleeping. There's like over a foot of snow on the ground in Brooklyn right now.
Are you finding Nemo difficult to handle?
Ha 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 ha. What a horrible name for a blizzard, right?
Yeah. Isn't that just the Weather Channel naming it for like to create news?
Yeah, they said they named it like it wasn't the government naming it like hurricanes and stuff. It was the Weather Channel naming it. So whatever.
We're going to name winter storms.
It was pretty crazy. Like the snow didn't start really until about like noon yesterday. And then between noon and five, there was maybe an inch on the ground, but it was coming down really hard. And then by 7:30, we went to walk the dog and there was like already 3 or 4 inches of snow on the ground. And then at 1 a.m., I took her back down and the snow was like, I was telling you guys, came up like halfway up her legs, and she's a tiny little dog, so it was humorous to watch. And then we got up this morning and I look and there's easily over a foot. So, and it's still coming down. It's still snowing.
That's crazy.
So it's crazy, but we are gonna try to be dumb Florida kids and enjoy it and go out to the park and play around in the snow and do things I've never done before in my life, like make snow angels and throw snowballs and...
Gotta make a snowman?
Make a snowman, maybe, and... just have some fun. So we're gonna do that today. But I didn't really do much this week. I worked a bunch. I've had a bunch going on at work, and I worked a bunch, and then I watched a bunch of TV, which we're gonna talk about.
Nice.
So that was really about it that I can think of. How about you, Scott?
Let's see. So I'm addicted to Dead Space 3, and I'm loving it. So that's exciting. I pre-ordered Skyfall on Blu-ray because I haven't seen it yet, which is crazy.
Wait, you didn't go see Skyfall in the theater?
Dude, I just hate the movie theater. I think that's really what it boils down to. Like,
really?
Can we all agree just to get rich enough so one of us can have like a home, like a huge home theater with like awesome sound and everything?
Right, for sure.
Let's just do that.
It just makes me crazy.
It can be a pretty rough experience.
Even when nothing happens in the movie theater, I'm still worried about something happening, like people being rude or making noise, you know? It just kind of ruins my whole experience, so...
I love it, man. I could fucking live in a movie theater. I don't know. It's like my soothing zen place.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the noise just bothers me in, like, in a weird way when people are, like, going through candy wrappers or something.
You and I need to go to the theater together just so I can, like... fuck with you the whole time.
Oh god.
Like, well, when it's you, it's different.
Bears podcast. In your hair and like oh my pull god. Your beard.
Pull this your is why beard. I don't go. And I started reading Neil deGrasse Tyson's Death by Black Hole.
But you hated him.
No, I don't hate him. Where'd you hear that?
I thought you didn't like
that was Mike. He doesn't like Mike Tyson.
No, I thought you didn't like scientist brands.
I don't mind him. Like, I follow him on Twitter, and it's okay, you know? Yeah.
You've always had this thing where, like, when a scientist kind of becomes a brand, you know, like, when they become, like, more than just an astronomer or whatever.
Sure. I mean, I guess I feel like in his specific case, he's still trying to promote science as far as, like...
So do you view him as the new Carl Sagan, or no?
I mean, I don't really... It's hard to say. I mean, I guess so. I mean, he's going to do the cosmos, but... You know, any time that somebody can try to like translate complex scientific concepts to like a larger audience, I mean, I think that's a pretty good thing, you know?
Yeah.
I have no problem.
Do you follow Phil Plait at all, the bad astronomer on Twitter?
No.
You should follow him too. He's really good, but he tweeted throughout the whole Super Bowl, he was tweeting like scientific facts that related to what was going on in the game, but about space. Like he was like, you know, like if an asteroid, blah, blah, blah. I forget what all the facts were, but it was all about space relating to football somehow. It was humorous. Nice.
So, I will do that. Cool. Yeah, so that's pretty much my week. Oh, P.S. Hold on. Star Wars Connect. Let me just say something about this game real quick. Okay. Last week, I made fun of it, and I said it was bad. But it was like bad in a funny way. Like I was still playing the game. Like I don't care. Whatever. It's Star Wars. Fine. I'm done with this game right now. Let me tell you why. You have to do.
That took way too long, man.
No, listen. There's a bug. That's the problem. And it's a bug that prevents me from getting an achievement. And that's where things break down. So you have to do, like, there's dancing, right? And this game is so bad that you can't just dance the song at the highest difficulty level to unlock the next one. They make you unlock difficulty levels one at a time. So effectively, you have to do each song three times, right?
Right.
And then there's probably, I don't know, like 15 to 25 songs in the game. So I got to the second to the last song. You have to dance them all in order to unlock the last one. And the game stopped tracking the stars that allow you to unlock more songs. See what I'm saying? So you do the song, man, you get a rating, brutal. But then the rating doesn't count towards your like global score. It's a bug in the game. You can go online, like it's, you know, generally accepted that that's a problem. Like it's not just me. So, yeah, what the fuck? So like having a bad game is one thing, but having a buggy game is a different thing. So I'm pretty pissed off about it. So there you go.
I'm sorry.
Speaking of Star Wars,
news.
Sorry, Hillary isn't here, so I had to.
That was good. No, I think she would approve.
Yeah. There's more Star Wars movie news.
Yeah, after all the news about that there's going to be more movies, and then we started throwing guesses down, and I think I said Darth Maul and Boba Fett, and we were just joking around about it. Boba Fett's true. Supposedly in the rumor mill so far
I heard it's called Meet the Fets.
It's called Meet the Fets, and it just takes place in their dining room, and Han Solo comes over for dinner, and it's a really awkward dinner. The first one that was revealed was a new Boba Fett movie set somewhere in the range of, I think, between like 5 and 6, does that make sense? Or 4 and 5?
Somewhere in there.
It's in the original trilogy timeline. They're going to tell a Boba Fett story. And then another one was Han Solo. And this one's going to be young Han Solo, probably originating around when he got in trouble with the Hutt and all that kind of stuff. And then supposedly the third one that was leaked, but I haven't seen anything further about this yet, is a Yoda movie as well, which would be, I believe, early Yoda, like pre-everything Yoda.
I don't know. Could you think
800 years old.
Do you think having him be the main protagonist for a film would work these days?
I know that Frank Oz says he wants to reprise his role and be Yoda in the new films.
Ooh, that's incredible. What is your take on young Solo? Do you think anyone could actually fill the shoes of Harrison Ford? I mean,
Shia LaBeouf, apparently.
Oh, God, not Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf.
I think so, yeah.
Have you heard the Shia LaBeouf song, by the way?
No.
It is like one of the best things ever. Scott, I'm going to have to find it to you. We're going to have to maybe slide it in here if it works.
Just saying no over and over again?
No, it is like, I don't even know what it is. It's about Shia LaBeouf being like some sort of werewolf stalker creature. I don't even know. It's incredible.
Awesome.
I have to find it. Running for your life. From Shia LaBeouf. He's brandishing a knife. It's Shia LaBeouf. Lurking in the shadows. Hollywood superstar Shia LaBeouf. Living in the woods, Shia LaBeouf. Killing for sport, Shia LaBeouf. Eating all the bodies, actual cannibal Shia LaBeouf. Now it's dark, and you seem to have lost. Break the podcast. Put it on.
I mean, I think his shoes can be, because as long as they're doing young Han Solo, then it's a different period in his life, and he can be the not iconic Han Solo that he is in the original trilogy. Like he can be,
sure,
you know, less confident or less, you know, cocky or whatever. And I think it could be done. I don't know who. You're better at casting, Ash, than I am. You always like name, if not the person, then somebody that would be fantastic for it. So
I haven't really put too much thought into who I'd like to be young Han Solo, but I'm curious. Like, Scott, do you remember his origin story? Because my brain is telling me that he was an Imperial officer when he was actually in the, this is the, what I remember of Han Solo. He was an Imperial officer when he was like young, and then he rescued, I think, Chewie from a slave camp.
Yeah, and that's how the Chewie, life bond got created.
Yeah, and then they had the life bond, but this is when he was super young. And so I would assume that if they did a movie about young Han Solo, it would probably be about his transition from being just a cog in the Imperial wheel to being, you know, the guy that we know him as, and probably liberating Chewbacca.
Right.
In, like, the beginning of their lifelong bromance.
I mean, that sounds pretty cool. I've never read any of the EU stuff about Han Solo specifically, but everything you describe sounds like a good movie. I guess it just depends on who's cast.
He used to have a droid too, a badass droid called the Blue Max, I think it was called. In like the old Han Solo novels from like the 80s and stuff, he had this like kind of kick-ass blue droid that would follow him around and fly into ships with him and stuff too. So hopefully they use some of that old stuff and don't just like, you know, throw it out, because there were cool stories. At least I remember them being cool when I was 15.
Can I make a point that it's 2013 right now, and the plan is that for the next 8 years, we're going to have multiple Marvel titles, including more Avengers movies. We're going to have the next 3 Star Wars movies, along with extra movies that are just like in-depth character movies. We've got like, you know, it's just kind of this is ridiculous. It's getting insane.
There's a lot going on.
Granted, I think what it is that the kids of the 80s have grown up and now have jobs and money, and they spend things on like going out to movies and buying toys for their kids.
Yeah, give us stuff.
But it's just kind of amazing to me.
To put things in perspective, I think about like all the guys I grew up with, right? Like all of my friends from elementary school. We hung out. We would sit around and read stacks of Marvel comics. And literally every single male in my class, we'd all sit around and read Marvel comics. We'd play with our garbage pail kids, and like, you know, we'd watch our Thundercats. And then as we all went on to, you know, middle school, high school, college, we all went our separate ways. And, you know, some of them became sports stars, and some of them became writers, and some of them became teachers, and some of them, we all went our different ways, but we all still love that shit from when we were kids.
Oh, yeah.
And so that was, I mean, all that stuff, that stuff from our childhood is becoming incredibly popular now, because like you said, everyone that is our age now has that common bond, and we all love it because it was something that really defined us as kids.
But but importantly, we have disposable income as well.
That is true. Yeah.
We're no longer the cash-strapped kids of the 80s and 90s, you know, spending our only $5 on a comic book or two to read.
And a box of macaroni and cheese.
And a box of macaroni and cheese. That is epic. That was an epic weekend.
19 cents.
We bought 19-cent Winn-Dixie brand mac and cheese because all we had, I think, $20 between the four of us.
Yeah.
And we spent $19 on Jihad and Vampire cards.
Vampire the Masquerade, the card game.
And then we had $1 left, and we had no food to eat at Scott's house. So we went to Winn-Dixie and bought like 3 boxes of 19-cent mac and cheese. It was like greenish yellow. It was the worst color ever created. And
do you remember?
And we ate it.
Greenish yellow.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. Like, it looked like it had been like what would you call it? Like if a nuke had gone off next to it when we finished cooking it. It was irradiated. Thank you, Scott.
Do you remember at my house that one time we dared Adam to put food coloring in cottage cheese and then drink it out of a cup?
Yes.
We like turned it green and then mixed it up, and he's like, I'll drink this.
It was pretty...
Oh, boy.
We were pretty bored kids in the suburbs of St. Pete.
Anyways.
So more comic book movie news. Warner Brothers has been working on a Justice League movie for about a year now, I believe, maybe a little more, including prep time and all that. And the writer Will Beals, I think is how you say his name, maybe Bells, had worked up a whole script. And the rumor is it just got trashed entirely by Warner Brothers.
That good, huh?
And the funnier thing that I was sharing with you guys right before we started is that Mark Miller, the creator of Kick-Ass and many fantastic Marvel titles, and as long as a few other books,
was great.
Authority, came out and said some funny things about this whole debacle with what's going on with the movie. He referred to it as an excellent way to lose $200 million. He says it's absolutely disastrous due to the logistics of the team. Here's a good point about Aquaman. Aquaman can't even talk underwater. If you think about it in comics, it's fine. You just have a speech balloon. But how do you have Atlantis and people talking underwater? Are they going to be talking telepathically? Is it going to be body forms?
Sign language.
The Flash has door handles on the side of his mask, and if he doesn't wear that mask, I'll be pissed off. You know what I mean? They're in a weird situation. If you've got a guy who moves at the speed of light up against the Weather Wizard and Captain Cold or whatever, then your movie's over in 2 seconds.
That is a brilliant quote. So true. And I think that's, you know, going back to the Authority, that's what made the Authority incredible, because he took all the archetypes from the Justice League, and he modernized it and made them operate in real world situations.
So,
and they were great. I mean, they were
hold on though,
impossibly powered.
Mark Miller didn't do the Authority.
Oh, he didn't?
No, that was Warren Ellis.
Oh, it was Warren Ellis. My apologies.
It's all right. I was thinking about it. I was like, did Mark Miller do the Authority? And I was, but no, he did the Civil War run for Marvel, the Authority. I mean, not the Authority. Jesus. Oh, he did do the Authority.
He did?
When did he write the Authority? That was Warren Ellis. Hold on. let's work to the bottom
Redact
of this, guys.
Everything.
2000, received his big... Oh, he replaced Warren Ellis on the Authority. So he did the follow-up line on Authority.
Okay. So we're both right.
We're both correct.
Go team.
Go team NA.
That was a Skype high five.
You were saying... you were saying...
I think this podcast has now just become virtual high five, ready to 892.
Ash and I did it at the same time.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah, but I agree. So the Authority had a much more grounded kind of amazingness to its superheroes. Correct?
Yeah, and it was super violent, which I loved.
It was super violent. I mean, his points are just funny. Like, he's basically just trashing it. And Slashfilm, who reported this, or is where I got the story, actually did make the point that, like, not even 6 months ago, he was raving about the script, supposedly, that he had gotten an early copy of it and said that it was fantastic. So whatever changed his mind, I have no idea. But I mean, we were talking about it before. Justice League movie, just like the Avengers movie, would have seemed ridiculous if it weren't for Iron Man, Hulk, Captain America, Thor. You know, if all those movies hadn't come out, the Avengers would have been like, we would have all been like, how the hell are they going to do an Avengers movie?
Yeah.
Like, it would have still been fun.
We already knew the characters relatively well at that point. Like, we were talking about before we hit record, you know, all the origin stories of those characters had already been established. So we already knew kind of what made them tick, you know, what their objectives were. And then all of a sudden, having them all in the same movie together, you didn't have to go over all of that again. You could just deal with whatever threat they had to deal with.
And I thought, you know, because we kind of live in a nerdy bubble where we all know what the Avengers are already and that kind of stuff. But I talked to a friend who had not watched any of the Marvel movies and started to watch The Avengers and just got lost and ended up not watching it, essentially.
Hmm, really? Wow.
And I asked why, and he was like, I didn't know where any of the characters were coming. Like, he didn't know anything about anything, so he just was like... So Marvel really did build that universe up, you know? Like, if you missed those first opening movies, The Avengers really... I'm sure you could have still watched it. He might have just been bored or whatever, but somehow. But, like, you know... It really was a culmination of creating a universe that they've been doing, and they're continuing to build it. So, and the Justice League movie just felt like a reaction to the Avengers. So, I mean, it's still going to happen. Clearly, it's going to still be made, but I think they've got a lot of work in front of them.
Yeah, one day we'll definitely get it. But I mean, I honestly think one of the things that the Avengers did right was it the characters were perfectly cast, right? Mm-hmm. They were all believable in those parts. I don't think they could have done a better job.
Right.
And I think the Justice League, if it wants to be done right, it's going to have to follow the same sort of formula. Like, we're going to have to, you know, use the Superman from the newest Superman movie. Whatever Batman's going to be, we'll have to, you know, see a couple movies with him first. You know, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I think that Zach
Schneider.
Yeah, I think this is all relying on how well his Superman movie does.
Yeah,
I think if his Superman movie is fantastic and it does really well, then I think Warner Brothers has the ground to start doing stuff in the world. Because mm-hmm. The problem is, no matter how great the Nolan verse Batman was, it is not part of Warner Brothers' movie DC empire. It does not run alongside of Green Lantern. It doesn't run alongside of Zack Snyder's Superman. It was its own little thing, so they have to restart the Batman story again to get Batman introduced, you know?
Yeah.
It's a challenge.
It definitely is. And I think, to be honest, I think some of the DC heroes are a little more challenging to make believable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think, like, for instance, one of the reasons why Green Lantern didn't do all that well is because, honestly, that's a hard character to get right. Like, you know?
I think there was a lot wrong with that movie other than just the character, but yeah, I agree. It's a weirder, but the DC universe is more fantastical than the Marvel universe. Marvel universe is set in New York and it's based around real places, and, like, you know, the people are fantastical, but in, like, a weird humanish way. That's what they always wanted to do. Mm-hmm. The DC characters are all like bigger than life. They're all these, like, they started to get grounded with more recent stories, but most of them are just these huge, you know, supernatural characters that how are you going to round them all in without massive villains and all this other stuff? So,
agreed.
Let's talk about dice.
Let me just say this real quick. If they do a Justice League movie, the main enemy has to be Darkseid, because that would be badass.
I mean, it has to be.
Yeah, it has to be. He's such a badass. He's like, I'm gonna piss off a couple DC fans here, but he's like the only good DC villain.
Yeah, I mean, in a way, he's one of the better DC villains. But he's the one that's most like, you know, Kang or Thanos. Like, he's that kind of, like, super villain. You know, like, crazy supervillain who has crazy powers and runs his own world.
Uh oh.
Surprise! Broadcast!
Surprise!
We have a surprise guest on the podcast, everybody.
Surprise guest.
Heck yeah, I'm coming in.
From Reset Transmission has been tagged in for the Broadcast.
The Broadcast.
When we say tagged in, we tag in with our wieners.
Right, exactly.
Oh no.
I'm bringing another dick to this party.
So I didn't even tell them you were coming. This is a kind of surprise.
Oh, really? So they're really surprised.
I saw him sign in. I was going to chat you and say, like, hey, why don't we just have Nate jump in the podcast? But I was going to wait till the news was over because I'm not a dick. But you...
The news? Well, what are you guys talking about in the news?
Oh,
let's before we do that, let's see what you've been doing and you know, kind of get you caught up, and we'll do your introduction like midway through the news. Because why not?
Because, yeah, I mean, I think that makes sense. That's the logical thing to put me in here. Let's see. What have I been up to? Well, I've been I've been playing a few different games lately because I've been doing some reviews over at Press to Reset. So I played Anarchy Reigns not that long ago.
Sorry.
I know that Ash has different feels about that game than I do. You like the soundtrack for some reason. The soundtrack makes me want to shoot myself in the face.
I kind of ironically like the soundtrack to that game. It makes me stand up and, like, do pelvic thrusts rhythmically.
Like Bayonetta.
Yeah, kind of like Bayonetta, but I don't know if it's anything that I'd ever, like, purchase.
There's no way you could. It's just, like, it's so repetitive. It's, like, 10-second songs that they just repeat over and over and over, and the songs are about, like, killing people.
Wow.
It's therapeutic for me.
Right. It's interesting. So, yeah, I played that. And then I played Antichamber. Has anybody played Antichamber?
No, but I've been hearing about this. This is that, like, color reversed weird physics game, right?
Yeah, it's a total, like, puzzle style game. It's, yeah. Everybody keeps, I keep reading it in reviews and stuff, and I set it myself, but it's just like, it's like playing an M.C. Escher painting. It's craziness.
Wow. Yeah, I've heard it's a total brain fuck. Like, you just.
Oh my God, it completely is.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, if you think Portal is, like, mentally challenging, Antichamber will, like, it will break your head. Yeah. You have no idea what it's like. It's so.
I could never get it.
It's craziness. It's super fun, though. It's like really, really rewarding because, I don't know, it makes you feel smart when you figure something out.
Nice.
You're just like, yeah, that's right. I'll just take over the world now because I'm so smart.
I totally did that.
Yeah, so it's cool. I played a lot of hours of that. But most of my time recently has been spent playing Minecraft because that's what I do. And I know I don't hear you guys talk about Minecraft on this show
really
very
play.
Much.
Yeah, we're not Minecraft. I hear you guys talk about Minecraft a lot on your show. So I kind of live vicariously through you. I heard about you coloring sheep and building an underground farm. I know all the stories, man. I'm up to date. I'm all caught up.
The thing with Minecraft with me is that I think if this was 10 or, God, I'm old. If this was like 12 years ago and I was still living in a house with Scott and Adam, I could see us running like a massive Minecraft server and playing it for hours and hours and hours.
Out of the house. Yeah.
But now I'm just like, I did it on my phone a little bit, which is less fun. And I played a little tiny bit on the computer and it didn't grab me, but I don't think I have the group either, you know?
Yeah. It's definitely, when I started playing it, I've been playing it now for about 2.5 years, I think probably. Mm-hmm. And we have two servers. Like I have a server that I run at my house right now that is just, right now it's just me and Denise that play on that one.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have this older server that I used to run at my house and now my younger brother runs out of his house. that one is like the press to reset one where it's like I'm there and my brother's there and Anna and Mel are there. And
holy crap.
Richard, who's managing editor over at Press to Reset's there. And so is Mark. And then we've got a few community people like JJ that we've played with for a while. So that's where the real fun is if you're playing with other people.
Yeah.
And you're building projects. It's such a sandbox world. Like you can just do whatever you want. And I was a huge Legos guy when I was a kid.
Oh yeah.
And that's why it appeals to me, man. It's like that's Legos. Awesome. So it's awesome. Sweet. But yeah, so I've been playing a lot of that lately. I go in waves with it where it's like I'll play it really hardcore for a while, like now, where I'll play it like 4 or 5 hours every couple of days. And then I'll go weeks and I just won't play it at all, which was where I was coming from.
Yeah. Have you started the Dead Space yet?
No, I have not started the Dead Space yet. Right. I didn't play any Dead Space 1 or Dead Space 2 because I'm a big sissy and I don't like.
Me too.
Yeah, I don't like
the same person. This weirds me out sometimes.
I know, right? I remember hearing you talk about it on the show and I'm like, I know that guy. That's how I am. It's like, oh, screw these.
But you're totally into co-op.
Right, I'm totally into co-op, right? Yep. So it doesn't take a whole lot to convince me. So I've never played 1, I've never played 2, but Denise is a huge fan of Dead Space 3 and she's like, you have to play it with me, you have to play it with me. And I was like, no, I'm not going to do it. And then she just bought it and she's like, here.
It's not.
So you're going to be playing. You're going to have to pound your chest and man up.
Yeah, I don't see that as happening. I don't see that as happening. Yeah.
Man. The first time I played Dead Space was the night before I got married, and I was like stressed to hell already. And I literally turned the game on. I played for like an hour, and an hour into it, I remember standing like in a doorway, and a bad guy moved behind me. Like I saw a shadow run across and a bunch of noises, and I like flipped around all freaked out. And then I looked out the door, and no one was there. And I was like, "Fuck this game!" And I just turned it off. Turned it back on. I was like, "I don't need this right now. This is not what is required."
It's true. The game's all about like it. The worst thing about Dead Space is every once in a while, the enemy will move in front of the camera lens. Yeah. So you'll be looking at your character in third person, and the enemy will get between the camera and you. And you'll be like to see this like giant, you'll see this giant wall of meat, you know, because the enemy is right next to you. And you'll turn around. And it's the most like disconcerting thing ever.
Can't do it. Too
much. I can't wait to play it. I mean, Denise is super excited. She's a big fan of Dead Space. And I've talked to a lot of people that are. You know, big time fans, but yeah, the scary factor. I'm just like, no, don't need it, don't
tell
want it,
that,
don't want anything to do with it.
Her next big cosplay project needs to be one of the rig suits from Dead Space
for sure.
Tell her to build that.
I'm sure she'll get into it. That's how she is. Like as soon as she starts playing something and she gets really excited about it, that's when the cosplay brain starts kicking in and she starts doing stuff.
That's awesome.
Not only that, there's an N7 rig in Dead Space 3.
Oh my gosh, man! Yeah. It's so awesome.
Is it?
It looks so nice. Yeah, it's like a version of Shepard's armor, but sort of in the vein of Dead Space. It looks so nice.
I can't wait. It looks exciting. So, and I've heard good things about it so far. And most people are saying that like the single player is kind of, it's pretty good, and everybody's saying that the co-op is super fun. So
it's a different beast, man. They're like two totally different games.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It really is.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It's going to be good.
We'll get into our review in progress in a little bit.
Awesome. I can't imagine I'm going to play the single player of that game because, as I've stated, I'm a total sissy. So, like, that's how that's going to go, all for right. sure. Yeah, so that's what I've been up to. I've been traveling a lot. So I've been playing Valkyria Chronicles 2, which I take a moment to mention every time I'm anywhere on the internet.
As well you should.
Right. I need to get that out there.
I think you messaged me about the fan translation of 3, right?
Yeah, yeah,
you didn't message me? Yeah.
Yeah. It's coming along pretty good, apparently. I've seen lots of screenshots and video of it where they've got all the menus translated. They've got a lot of the text is translated already. I think right now they're working on, they have to like do actual, you know, overdub for, well, no, they're not going to do overdub. They'll do subtitles for all of the like cutscenes. And apparently in the third one, there's a lot more cutscenes than there are in the second one. So it's like anime style cutscenes. So I think they're doing the subtitles for that. And I guess that's pretty hard.
Wow. Oh, wow.
But yeah, that'll be sweet. That game looks, the third one looks so good. I don't know. Like, I really like the first one. I like the second one a lot. It's not as good as the first one, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I don't know. It deals with like high school kids.
Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, the first one's a great story. I loved it.
Yeah, it's super good. But I like the gameplay in the second one better. Like the way the class progression is and stuff like that.
And yeah, there's all sorts of new classes in the second one that I thought were really cool.
Yeah, so it was super fun. But the third one looks like the perfect meld of both. Like it has all of the class structure and stuff like that. But the characters are a little bit older and the story's a little bit more mature. It's not so like, you know, Japanese anime high school blah. You know?
Must get an A. Okay, so the DICE Awards just happened in Las Vegas, and there were some kind of big surprises as to who won things, and some things that weren't surprising at all. For instance, Journey won a lot of everything.
Yeah.
And I haven't really gotten a chance to play Journey yet.
Yeah, Nate, so, have you played Journey?
I have not played Journey.
So yeah. We're all Journey-less.
We're all Journey-less. Yep. One awards that I was super happy about, though, Mobile Game of the Year went to Hero Academy, which, of course, we are big fans of, mm-hmm. and big fans of Robot as well, so we're happy for them.
I believe I'm currently kicking Scott's ass in a round of Hero Academy.
Oh, geez, yeah. It's not going well. Not awesome. Going
how,
well.
How does Hero Academy work? I hear people talk about it, and I'm not familiar with it at all.
Oh, it's great, man. You'd really dig it. If you're a fan of like turn-based strategy games, and which I know you are.
Yeah.
It's asynchronous, meaning you know you can take your time between turns, but there are a number of different teams, and each team is stacked with different units. You know, there's a team of Dark Elves. There's a team called the Council, which are just like wizards and warriors and things like that. But each unit has a certain... each unit on each team has different moves, different special moves and abilities. And so it's pretty much like a very advanced game of chess.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so the goal is to eliminate the other team's crystals, or eliminate the other team outright, and you know, you have different spells and things that you can use. But it's super fun, very, very tactical. The art and animation is beautiful.
And it's iOS only, and I think Steam now too, right? Didn't they put it out on
it
Steam too?
It is Steam.
And cross-platform.
Yeah, and cross-platform. But the funny part is that Scott, so I play on my wife's phone because she's an iPhone, and Scott and I were talking about other stuff entirely, and he's like, hey, by the way, are you playing Hero Academy for Melissa right now? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, I don't necessarily know how Melissa plays, but I know exactly how you play. And all of a sudden the game changed. And I was like, that was me.
I was like, I know you too well. Clearly you are playing because I recognize your tactics.
Like all of a sudden there was a mental shift on the opposing force.
Well, yeah, I was playing this round. Yeah, we were trading guys back and forth, and we got to the end, and I was like, oh, yeah, I got the last guy. And I killed his last guy, and he put two more out. And I was like, you were sandbagging two people. Clearly, I'm not playing Melissa. I know who I'm playing. You know?
That's awesome.
No, but it's good. It's good.
Sorry.
What other stuff? Let's see. Outstanding character performance. The voice actor who did Lee Everett in The Walking Dead won the voice acting award.
Did you know he is the voice of Hulu?
I didn't know that.
What?
Yeah. This show brought to you by Verizon.
Shut up.
Lee Everett.
By Lee Everett.
That's amazing.
Excellent. One very funny thing. Ashley Birch was tweeting because she was nominated for Tiny Tina for this award as well. And she went to the DICE Awards and she said that she was Jennifer Hale was nominated for Commander Shepard. And she was saying that she's really excited to be in the same room with Jennifer Hale, and that she, if she got to meet her, she was probably going to pee herself. And then she asked for people to draw pictures of that event occurring. And I drew a wonderful picture of Ashley Birch peeing herself in front of Commander Shepard.
Nice, I saw it.
Yeah, I'm glad you saw it.
It's excellent.
It had a little pee-pee in it. It was funny. I haven't heard if she got to meet her or not, so we'll have to find out. Let's see what else. Massively multiplayer game of the year went to Mass Effect 3. I think we're going to probably agree with that one.
For sure.
Yeah, that's a good pick. I don't know, though. It's how do you classify Borderlands 2? Is it role-playing or not?
Well, Borderlands 2 won for action game of the year.
Yeah, I think it's action.
So that's how they classify it.
Because it's not, I don't know if it's role-playing in the sense that you're really making decisions and playing, you know what I mean? Like, you're kind of following a path.
There's like an RPG element to it.
There's RPG elements to it, but you're not really role-playing the character, I guess, necessarily.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that classification. It's just lots of times people get a little bit, I know the original Borderlands, they were like, no, it's an RPG. And I was like, it's kind of.
Yeah.
But I'm fine with that, as long as it won a game of the year somewhere.
you know what game did surprise me that I've actually been hearing really good things about is that PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale. Have you seen that new fighting game they put out? I can't imagine playing it, but everybody that plays it says it's fun as hell.
It looks like Smash Bros, though.
It is exactly like Smash Brothers,
but...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yes, if you like Smash Bros, I think it's supposed to be pretty cool. I think they're doing some... I don't know. PlayStation's got some really unique characters that I think that's the one thing that Xbox misses the most from its whole console days. It's like, it's lucky it has Xbox Live because they don't have the wealth of characters like PlayStation and Nintendo has.
Mm-hmm. That's true. They're definitely, in terms of how long they've been around, they don't have that history.
Yeah, so, I mean, they have they have Commander Chief. That's kind of
they're Master Chief. They've got Commander Shepard. Or not Commander Shepard. Master Chief and
Marcus Phoenix.
Marcus Phoenix, yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, that's kind of it.
Pretty much.
About it.
Yeah, but it looks cool. That game looks cool. It's weird, though. They had some third-party studio make it for them, and then they just severed ties with that studio last week.
Yeah. They're
like, thanks for making our game. Later.
See ya.
Let's see. What other big ones are there? Adventure Game of the Year went to Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Game of the Year actually went to Journey. And, Yeah, Journey won Game of the Year, or won Outstanding Achievement in Game Direction.
It won
Outstanding Achievement in Direction, Online Gameplay.
Outstanding Innovation.
Innovation in Gaming. I mean, it won everything. Casual Game of the Year, Journey. Sound Design, Journey. Kind of.
Original Music, Journey.
That's crazy. that makes sense to me, given that DICE Awards is an industry award that's given it's given from developers to developers and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So Journey is it's one of those real kind of artsy games, and it's a game for people who make and really appreciate games.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's
I agree.
It's like when that super indie band wins a bunch of awards because other people in bands like them so much.
Yes.
That's how Journey is.
I totally agree. Well, that's pretty much it. I mean, the DICE Awards happened, and we're, of course, happy for everyone that took home something nice to reward them. And it looks like there were no huge surprises other than the fact that Journey won almost everything. Other games that kind of got snubbed a bit. Assassin's Creed this year didn't really get much other than, I think, an award for animation.
Halo got a couple.
Halo did get a couple, which I'm happy with because it was a pretty astounding game, actually. I was pretty impressed with it. So. Yeah. So cool.
So Scott, dust off that Dreamcast, buddy.
Yeah, it's actually hooked up to my TV in the den here, but I never get to play it. So, there's going to be a new Dreamcast game, you guys.
Yeah, Ghostblade.
That's insane. What is Dreamcast? Dreamcast was 14 years old or something like that?
For sure.
Yeah.
That's some staying power.
So apparently there's a whole like micro industry of these developers that continue to make games for the Dreamcast, and one got kickstarted last year and is coming out anytime now, from what I understand, if it's not out right now, called Ghostblade. And it's a space shooter kind of game. It looks gorgeous from the screenshots I've seen. The Dreamcast was always like that machine that should have been fine and just never did well.
Yeah, why has Capcom never made another Power Stone game?
God, that game was so fucking good.
Yeah, I know. Power Stone 1 and 2. Power Stone 2 is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were fun.
They're incredible. I don't get it.
I wish they had more characters. That was my one qualm with it.
I feel like I'm on so many podcasts, they all run together anymore. But
man, you get around.
Man,
I
know,
right? I'm the slut of the internet.
We actually had you checked out before you got on today.
But it's kind of rare for you to be on a podcast with dudes. Normally you're surrounded.
Oh, I know, right?
Feeding you grapes.
So. Yes, exactly. It is. I'm definitely on female casts. I don't know how that happened either. But I feel like on one of these casts we talked about Power Stone one time, and we were kind of baffled that it sort of disappeared for no reason either. It was like a fundamental part of the Dreamcast.
Absolutely. It definitely was.
Yeah.
And then
I think it
just
was like their one big exclusive, really. When you think of it, I mean, there were other exclusives as well, but that was the one.
Well,
that
they had the follow ups to Shining Force. They had the Power Stone games. They had like a ton of games that were amazing on the Dreamcast that just never. Yeah. Wasn't Seaman on the Seaman?
Yeah.
Oh,
yes.
Seaman.
Seaman
all over my Dreamcast this one time.
We actually played that at our house. For a long time, and
man, did we enjoy some Seaman on the race?
Some Seaman,
yeah.
You know, I think we let him die multiple times. It was just like the saddest. Didn't what was his name that narrated it? Was it Leonard Nimoy?
Let's find out. Oh,
it was a Star Trek character. It was either Leonard Nimoy. I think it was Leonard Nimoy.
We're gonna derail this real quick and find out.
I would love if the voice of Seaman was William Shatner.
Well, it wasn't the voice of Seaman. I think it was the guy who...
Leonard Nimoy.
Yeah, introduced you into the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he would be like, it's been a while since you've come to take care of your fish.
Yeah, he shames you into it.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Do you think he views that as a career high or a career low?
I'm going to go with high.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
That was like pretty innovative though at the time. Nothing else was even remotely like that.
Absolutely.
Everything about the Dreamcast was innovative at the time, because it was like, remember its whole pitch, its whole marketing campaign was it's thinking.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Because it would like, it stayed on all the time and it learned about how you played, and that was part of the games, and it knew what was going on all the time because it was the first console that had a sleep mode.
Yeah.
And it had the virtual memory unit.
Yeah, exactly. You turned it off and it wasn't off. It was just like in really low power state. We used to make fun of it all the time because, let's see, I was just getting into college when it came out. Like my first year of college, I think, was the year it came out. And me and my two roommates used to make fun of it all the time because we had one of those and we had this other thing that was called a Q-Cat. That was like, yes, it was this thing. It was like the real rudimentary days of QR codes. Where it's like, it was this thing you plugged into your computer and you could scan barcodes with it, and then it would take you to fantastical places on the internet that were associated with this thing.
Wow.
So we always used to make fun of the Q-Cat and the Dreamcast. Like, if they ever got together, they would just take over the world. Like, they'd become, like, the thinking Dreamcast would just learn all about the internet, and then it would take over.
That's amazing. That's
fantastical.
Amazing. Yeah. I miss that system.
I do, too. All right. Well, it's at Scott's house if you want to play it, Ash.
Yeah.
All right.
We don't really say anything about the game, but it's going to be a...
I can't imagine there's a lot to say.
I wonder how they're going to release it.
This game is coming out for the Dreamcast 12 years after it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. That there's not much to talk about. It's a space shooter on a system that a few of you may own.
Yeah, there you go. It's probably going to be downloadable. You could probably burn it onto a disc or something.
Yeah.
It's called Ghost Blade.
Ghost.
No, I think they're actually releasing it in like spoofed packaging and everything.
Oh, that sounds pretty cool.
I think you'll probably be able to download it too, but I think that you can actually buy a disc in a box with like Dreamcast looking everything.
Sounds good.
I bet they do. This is like a new thing that's starting to happen where like really old systems, independent developers get like hooked up with them and they put out these full release games for some reason.
Yeah.
Where like they do all the packaging and they do like the old school way they used to do instruction manuals and all this stuff. Like there was just a game that came out not that long ago that was
Super Nintendo, wasn't it? Or Nintendo?
Yeah, it was
one of the
it was an RPG that was for Super Nintendo, I think it was.
Yeah.
And it was modeled after Chrono Trigger. And then like some gaming site did a review for it and said like this is the best RPG on the Super Nintendo, and it came out like 20 years after that system.
So sad.
Yeah. we're back with some reviews.
Sweet.
And first up in the review list is the new Netflix created and exclusive show House of Cards.
It's Kevin Bacon, right?
The wrong.
No,
that would be the wrong Kevin.
Kevin Spacey.
Yeah.
Oh, that's The Following, isn't it?
Yes, that's The Following on Fox.
Right. My bad.
I haven't seen that ad 1,000 times yet.
Is this a show about Las Vegas or poker or cards?
No, it's a show about DC and political intrigue.
Oh, thank God. If it was about cards in Las Vegas, I was just going to put my headset down and walk away. I have no negative interest in that.
Netflix, who, you know, makes like $300 million a year, dumped like $100 million into this show and is really hoping for some big bang out of it. But the basic plot of the show is it follows Kevin Spacey, who's the senior or the majority whip in Congress, and kind of follows him in his path to running Washington, essentially.
That's cool. Sounds
and
good.
And it's kind of all back alley and, you know, behind closed doors kind of stuff. And it focuses on him and a young reporter played by Kate Mara named Zoe Barnes.
Ooh, Kate Mara.
Yeah, and then I will say this right off the bat: the list of people attached to this show is kind of ridiculous. Like Robin White's the wife, Kevin Spacey's the lead, Kate Mara is the young reporter. The directors include David Fincher, who did I think the first three episodes or two episodes, and Joel Schumacher. The writing's ridiculous. They sunk some dollars into getting this show to be what it is. Super high quality, looks amazing, shot completely in high def. I watched the first two episodes, the David Fincher episodes. They are both gorgeous. I mean, like, perfectly directed and look amazing. The story is interesting.
I hear it gears up pretty. It gears up pretty quick, is what I've heard about.
Almost
it. I
immediately,
watched it
like they drop you. The first episode, you drop in, you kind of meet Kevin Spacey, and then in the first 10 minutes, like everything that he had been working for gets flipped upside down, and he kind of decides to go on this path of revenge, essentially. But not revenge in the sense that he's like going to go. You know, he's not going to go kill people or something. But he's basically decided that he's going to start using all his political influence and all of his ability to kind of get deals done to screw everyone that just screwed him. That is super interesting, and it's fun to watch. There is one weird thing in this show that I have to mention because it weirds me out. He does the Ferris Bueller look directly in the camera and talk to it thing.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's like the Zach Morris like time out.
It's really weird, and it's off-putting in this kind of show. Like, you're watching this super, like, you know, in-depth intrigue story, and you're like, oh, like, I'm really into this. And then he turns and he looks at the camera and he's like, you know, people really will listen to you when you, and you're like, why is he talking?
Interesting.
Stop talking to me, Kevin Spacey. Stop it.
He does the, did you guys ever watch Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil?
Oh, geez.
I think you
remember,
I did.
You remember Kevin Spacey's Southern accent?
Yes, I think so. Yeah. That was the Southern drama, right?
It's set in Savannah.
Yeah.
It's back in full force. He is South Carolinian, if you will.
And, interesting. Does he walk with a strange limp?
No, he does not. But he does. Yeah. He's weird. He's good. Like, it sounds pretty natural, but when you know how he really talks, it's kind of weird to watch him do it. But eventually you kind of get used to it. But when he breaks the fourth wall, it kind of breaks all of that, and it gets weird. It's a weird. I don't know who made the decision for that. I understand it, like, in a storytelling sense, but it's in this kind of story, it's weird. It wasn't expected and was a little off-putting. But
interesting. So you're saying, from what I understand, that you like this.
I do like it. I like it a lot. I wouldn't say it's quite as... It didn't have the necessary hook in the first episode or two that maybe Newsroom had for me. But it didn't disappoint at all either. What they did is they released the first episode, I think, for free. I think you don't have to be a Netflix subscriber. You can watch the first episode. And then they pretty quickly put up the entire series for Netflix subscribers. So you can actually power through all 13 episodes if you want. They're about 50 minutes each.
Yeah.
They are a little long. I watched two and that was about enough. I didn't really need to keep powering through the rest, but I'm definitely going to finish out the series. It is really interesting. I'm also really into DC and politics, and I like the idea.
Oh, me too.
Are you kidding me, dude?
No. No, let me tell you, like, when this show started coming out, like, I'm going to DC next week. But when they started advertising it, I was so hooked into the West Wing. Because it had all just come to streaming on Netflix. Like, I just watched West Wing, like, end over end all the time.
Wow.
Oh, my God, I love it.
Mm-hmm. We're best friends, buddy.
We do seem made for each other. Yeah. We'll see. Yeah.
It packs, and the world might implode. There's a
right.
Yeah. It's like matter and antimatter.
Well, then,
right, exactly.
I would definitely recommend this. It doesn't have that writing style that West Wing had, you know? I mean, it doesn't have...
It's not Sorkin.
Like there's some walking and talking and dialogue, but it's not quite as, you know, verbal spatting kind of back and forth. But it is done really well, and the Fincher episodes that I've seen so far were utterly gorgeous. Like, they look like movies. I mean, it's good.
Yeah, that's what I've heard, is that it's basically, in the way that it's shot and the way that you can watch it all back to back, is it really is just like a 13-hour movie.
Yeah, yeah. I would compare it to kind of like a what did they used to call them on TV, like miniseries. It kind of more miniseries-ish than it does long-running TV, but I don't know how the season ends, obviously, and I have a feeling they're probably going to leave it on a pretty big hook to keep you coming back for the next one. So
cool.
Definitely.
It'll be interesting to see how the business model plays out, because I think I mean I understand what they're doing on why they're putting it all out so you can watch all 13 episodes, but at the same time, that's kind of counterintuitive to what they're trying to do with the show. They want the show to build hype,
right?
And the way you do that is you show a new episode, or you drag it out over 13 weeks.
Yeah,
it was kind of a weird model, and then somebody, I think it was The Verge, maybe broke down the financial model of it, of how many subscribers they need to ad for every show that they spend this kind of money on, and it's insane. It was like you know, let's say they have like 23 million subscribers right now, or 230 million or something. They need to add like another 50 million brand new digital subscribers to continue this show going. Like,
these yikes
is at the pace that they're going, so we will see what happens, but it's the show is really good. It's super high quality. I would compare it to stuff on Hulu as better than the things I've seen come out of Hulu as like exclusives, if you know
awesome.
What I mean. So check it out. Definitely worth it. Good times. House of Cards.
And all
first
right.
episode free if you aren't a subscriber somehow.
So
I'm just glad it's not about cards.
It's not.
Yeah. So Ash and I had an opportunity to play a little Dead Space 3 co-op recently.
We did.
And it was pretty frantic and crazy.
It was crazy. So Scott messaged me. We were both playing single player, and he messaged me. He's like, hey, you know, when you were flying out in space, did you notice that there's a fourth derelict ship out here in this, like, you know, void of space near the beginning of the game? And I was like, no, I didn't. And he's like, well, it won't let me in. It says you need to tackle it co-op. So I hopped into his game, which was pretty seamless. Might I just say, completely lag free.
It continues
the no HUD thing going that Dead Space has going for it. So there wasn't any thing that had Scott's Xbox Live name above his head. Basically, it seamlessly integrated me into his game.
Mm-hmm.
And it was absolutely flawless. I mean, it didn't change the experience of Dead Space at all. All of a sudden, I was just kind of in his universe, which was really cool. The one thing I have to say that I found to be the most exciting about the co-op is obviously the difficulty of the enemies ramps up when you're playing co-op.
Yes.
The number of enemies increases.
Yes.
But also, like, one thing that we had to do, we were inside this derelict spaceship and there was no oxygen. And so we only had our suits' oxygen tanks to rely on the entire time we were in this ship for the most part. So we're running around with, like, you know, basically watching our timers tick down and, like, going from room to room and trying to find, like, little different oxygen tanks and crap like that. And, man, was that absolutely terrifying. Like, it got to one point, I think, Scott, where we ran into a room, I had 5 seconds of oxygen left.
Yeah.
And, like, you can actually see the other person's oxygen meter on their rig, on the back of their armor suit, you know?
Yeah, it was the
and
best
so we're
part.
Like,
Yeah, we're like running through this ship, and like mine's at 5 seconds, and then I found this tank and like sucked down all the air, and I was able to live. But what were your kind of impressions about the co-op compared to the single player, Scott?
I noticed right off the bat something they do that's a little different in the co-op is there was a part of the game where you were tackling a puzzle. And as soon as you interacted with the puzzle, like three dudes burst out of the wall and started attacking you and me. So like while you were working on like hacking the console, I had to like shoot, like keep all the guys off you from trying to kill us, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, it was completely frantic because when, you know, when it happens, you don't expect it. Like, I'm just going to be like, okay, I'm going to stay in here and watch you hack this console. And then I turn around and there's like three guys that are, you know, about to shoulder massage us. So, it was wild.
Massage.
And I do think it was cool. I agree with you that it was amazing that, instead of like, you know, in Borderlands, when you want to know what's going on with your partner, you just kind of look at their, you know, upper left-hand corner and you look at their health and shields. But, like if I want to know what's going on with you, I just look at your back, you know, and I see your air supply, how much health you have, how much stasis you have, that kind of thing. And it was all really neat, you know?
And, yeah. The way that Visceral did, you know, the anti-HUD, as I call it, is pretty amazing.
Yeah, I've always thought that was interesting about Dead Space, the way that they do that. I thought it was a really cool idea that I kind of, it surprised me you don't see it more in games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's cool.
Yeah, go ahead, Scott.
I was going to say the other thing that's cool is there's no fighting over like loot. So it is a little weird, but I think it's weird for the best because the way it works is that like if you open a locker and there's a piece of loot in there, like some ammo or a health pack or something, you can pick it up. And as far as you can tell, it's not there anymore, but your co-op partner will still see that there's an item in the locker. And the only thing that's weird about that is that it's kind of a random drop. So I might pick up ammo out of the locker and then you're going to pick up a health pack. So it's mm-hmm. It's kind of like has a random element to it. But the thing you can do is you can share ammo and like med kits and stuff. You can share anything, really. I think you can share like gun components too. So
why don't you tell them the wonderful thing that your Kinect was doing though?
Oh my God. I generally try to get Kinect stuff to work and I actually found that it worked pretty good in Mass Effect, but I just cannot get Kinect commands to work in Dead Space 3. And not only that, but when you're playing co-op with someone, I'll be talking to Ash and all of a sudden the Kinect will pick up on something that I said. And, you know, like one of the things you can do with the Kinect is give somebody stuff out of your inventory. So I don't have to go into my inventory. I can just say, like, give health to partner or something like that. But I would just be talking to Ash on the headset, and then it would just be like, oh, you gave your partner a med pack. And I was like, I didn't mean to do that.
I just kept getting all this random crap in my inventory. I'd be like, I think your Kinect is just giving me all your shit. I mean, I didn't mind, but I thought Scott might mind.
Yeah, it is weird that the Kinect voice commands are enabled while you have your headset on, and I could never really get them to work anyway, so I just had to turn it off, which is unfortunate because I thought it was a pretty cool idea, but it had to go.
Yeah. And I gotta say that probably the coolest thing that I noticed was the fact that the character I was playing with the new character, the second player character,
the EarthGov guy,
not Isaac, he's going through some issues. And you don't really, at this point in the game, I don't really know what his issues are, but he has like, he hears things and has hallucinations and such. Mm. And so we got to this one room and the lights are all weird for me and kind of flickering and the audio is like super muffled. And I look down and there's like talking in my headset of like a child talking to me and Scott wasn't hearing it.
No,
and
I didn't hear it.
Then I went down and there was a, looked like a giant nutcracker from the Nutcracker suite that was like sitting down on the floor of this room. And it was probably like 3 feet tall. And my character like went up and looked at it. And I think he may have even picked it up. And then I asked Scott, I'm like, do you see this fucking weird nutcracker? And he's like, no, it's not on my screen at all.
Yeah.
So my character was literally experiencing audio and visual hallucinations that Scott's character was not, which I thought was a really brilliant addition.
Yeah.
Cause, you know, that makes for some very different kind of gameplay.
You got to the crazy parts where one of you freaks out and the other one has to protect them?
No,
not yet.
I've heard that's a pretty cool gameplay element that they've got.
We haven't,
where it's like they do divergent paths.
Oh my God.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
That's the one thing I keep hearing about is that the series at some point starts screwing with you as co-op.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We haven't started playing campaigns as co-op yet because I think we want to each play through the story first. Because I think as far as like being individually frightened goes, that's only going to happen one time, you know? So
right.
I want to experience the game as a traditional Dead Space game and then do a co-op run with like all my extra loot and new game plus and stuff like that. And I think it'll be, yeah, it'll be crazy.
Awesome.
Way to go.
Yeah. So more on that as we continue our Dead Space 3 review.
Cool.
Next couple weeks we'll be talking about it a lot.
Yep. So in other news, Community is back on TV.
It's October, guys. It's back on.
Finally.
Yes.
So actually, before we get into the review too much, I listened to Gillian Michaels, right? On
Jacobs.
Gillian Jacobs. On what was she on? I think she was on Comedy Bang Bang. And she said that they are still going to air the Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Christmas episodes, but they're going to air. They're going to air in like March, I think. March, nice. April.
Nice.
So, yeah, that is kind of humorous. But for those that don't know, the reason that I think I wanted to kind of talk about this briefly, and I'm so glad you watched it, Scott. Nate, are you a Community fan? Did you watch it? Or?
I don't watch Community, actually.
Okay. So the first three seasons, the creator and showrunner was this guy named Dan Harmon. There was this massive kind of, I don't know what you would call it, drama, I guess, with NBC between seasons 3 and 4. Dan Harmon got fired by Sony, who owns the show, and NBC puts it out. They brought in two new guys to take Dan Harmon's spot. Chevy Chase, then a bunch of writers left, and then Chevy Chase announced he was going to quit, but he is actually in the full season of, or most of the season 4. Mm-hmm. And then NBC only renewed him for a half season, so they're only going to be on from like February through, I think, the end of April, possibly.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's brutal.
And it, yeah, I mean, it's not a good sign for Community. But anyways, the show did come back. The first episode aired on Thursday. Thankfully, they didn't get added to the Friday night death spot. They kept their Thursday night spot. Took over for 30 Rock, which is over now.
Were you nervous going into this?
I was cautiously optimistic, as we like to say, right?
Cautiously optimistic.
So the joke of the first episode is that change is scary. Right, Scott?
Yeah, exactly.
And kind of trying to make a meta joke about how the show is getting changed, essentially, because ownership changed the show and there's a lot of change going on with the show. So I think they tried to do like a self-referential joke about it.
Mm-hmm.
My problem with it was it felt really on the nose and a little too, I don't know,
it's like a little too obvious, right?
Yeah, it lacked that kind of Community. The most amazing thing about the first, or not the first season of Community, but probably season 2 and 3, was that like if you closed your eyes for a second, you missed a joke. And like you didn't just miss a joke, you missed a joke that would build on like three other jokes that also had something to do with like something that happened a year ago in the show. Like they were constantly like turning you kind of on your head about what they were talking about and what they were joking about. And this felt like a sitcom. But everything just fell a little flat. It just felt weird. And I don't know if it was because I came in with preconception or if it just really kind of fell flat. What did you think, Scott?
I felt the same way, but I came in with the same apprehension. Like I was really nervous about what was going to happen with the show. I didn't even know if Chevy Chase was still going to be on it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, how do you get started with a show after all that stuff happens, you know, with your, you know, background crew, you know? I don't know. I was nervous and I'm still nervous about it. I'm happy that it's on. I'm happy that I get to at least watch it, but I hope it doesn't just take like a tremendous nosedive, you know?
Yeah. And that's kind of where I'm at. It's like, I'm not giving up on it. Obviously I'm going to continue to watch this short season. But I've also heard that the second show, the New York Times did a big write up on the first two shows. And the second show I've heard is of the same par as the first.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The weird thing is the ratings were up a lot.
Yeah, well,
they're up 9% from when it was airing last season. So I don't know why that happened. I guess a lot of the shows that it was competing against like may have had reruns or something like that last night.
Right.
But it actually did relatively well. So,
well, I think it's not only that. I think before, wasn't it going up against American Idol, or is that Wednesday nights?
And Big Bang.
And Big Bang. I think. Yeah. I think the other thing that is that the its lead out is now much stronger. It took over for 30 Rock, which I think people were tuning into, you know, to some degree. So I think it's getting a little bit of overflow from those shows, but but man, I don't know. It definitely wasn't the kind of I don't know what you do because it won't be. I listen. Dan Harmon has a podcast that I listened to and I actually went to the live one up here in New York. And
oh, nice!
He is nuts. He's crazy. Yeah, like he truly is a crazy person, but like in the most fantastic way. Like the way he thinks is just unlike other things, and he's kind of crazy, but it's awesome, you know. Mm-hmm. And that it really flavored the show, and you could tell. And he's such a control freak that Community really was his baby, you know. And when you remove that and you put two new people in, it's obviously going to be something new, but it felt like it was trying to be something new and still try to be Dan Harmon's Community, and it was weird. So hopefully they'll catch a stride before the season's over, and hopefully it'll stick around and we can get more Community, but who knows?
Yeah,
cautiously optimistic. Yeah, it's going to be tough.
It is going to be a tough road.
Yeah, I mean, it's all but dead, essentially, at this point. And NBC, I think, is just letting it hang out to see if it gets some people with minimal effort, you know.
Well, and, I mean, they shot it, so they might as well air it.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
True.
So last up, one of my favorite trade paperbacks ever is Batman Dark Knight Returns, written by Frank Miller, written and drawn, I think, right? I think he had a co-writer on it, too. And it kind of follows the story of old Bruce Wayne, who had been out of the game for a little while, and he decides that the city has just gone to shit and he's going to come back and be Batman again and kind of fight back against this group called the Mutants, which then makes Joker arise again. And it's just kind of this crazy, dark story about an old man trying to reclaim what his youth, you know, was.
Mm-hmm.
And they recently turned it into an animated series, which while we talked about how horrible the Justice League is probably going to be, one thing Warner Brothers and DC does very well is these animated shows that they put out. I don't know if you guys have watched any of them, but there's like Batman Under the Red Hood, I think, and there's a bunch of Batman ones, there's a bunch of Justice League ones, there's a couple Superman ones. They're all pretty good. There's only a couple really stinkers out of the lot of them, but most of them are really good. And this one follows that. It is very good, with one weird exception.
Yeah.
And that is the voice acting.
Oh, no.
Really? How can it be good if the voice acting is weird?
Well, it's not that the voice acting is bad. It's that it's weird, because I don't know about you, but like Kevin Conroy is Batman for me. He's the voice of Batman the Animated Series. He was the voice of Batman in Arkham City and Arkham Asylum. He was the voice of Batman in most of these animated movies they put out. And then this time, I guess because he's supposed to be older and they didn't want Kevin Conroy, I have no idea, but RoboCop is his voice.
Really?
it's Peter Weller, and it is the weirdest thing to hear in the world, and it's just weird. Like, you're watching the whole time and you're like, this doesn't sound like Batman. What is this?
Wow.
There's D. Bradley Baker's in it. He plays one of the bad guys and a couple other things.
That's great.
And I mean, they've got some really big names. Michael Emerson plays the Joker, and he does a really good job of being creepy Joker, because the Joker in this series is not the kind of Heath Ledger Joker or anything like that. He's kind of this creepy, suave guy, if that makes any sense.
Sure.
Like a well-dressed pedophile, if you will.
Perfect.
Are there any other kinds of pedophile?
Wow.
But it maintains the brutality of the comic. There's lots of death, like in shocking ways, and it is brutal to watch. But if you can get past RoboCop being the voice of Batman, it's a pretty awesome little twofer. It's done in two parts. They're both available for rent, I think, on Xbox and Amazon and everything else right now. But it's good. So I just
old when we talk about older Batman, how old are we talking about?
I think he's in his 60s.
Yeah, he's in his 60s.
Oh, my Lord. So, yeah, it's like old guy Batman.
He's still pretty badass, though. He was still pretty badass.
Yeah, he's still... And, like, the way it's drawn by... They copy Frank Miller's style, so he's like this hulking Batman. Like, he's gigantic.
Yeah.
And then there's a huge storyline with Superman in it, too, where Superman, like... It's pretty clear Frank Miller has zero respect for this character of Superman. he writes him as this like government patsy who works for Ronald Reagan, because it's set in the 80s too. It's the other thing. Works for Ronald Reagan just to like do his errand. They call him his errand boy essentially. And Batman and Superman face off at the end, and it's an amazing fight. It's done really well. If you've never read the trade, you should absolutely pick up the trade and read it. But if you don't want to read the trade, this is a pretty faithful take on the trade paperback. And it's about 4 hours long and with both parts.
Nice. That's awesome.
Second part just came up for rent, which is why I figured we could do a quick little review on it. But check it out. RoboCop is Batman. It's weird, but
you're a like creep.
I accept RoboCop's random appearance in many things.
Especially in your dreams.
Right, exactly. Well, that's not that's not random, Ash. I planned that out.
As is custom. All right, guys, we're back with our Nequato, which is on the heels of the news that the next Assassin's Creed game will take place in a different time period with a new character. So we ask you, where and when should the newly announced AC game take place, and what would you love to see? And I really like our first answer from Jacques Major, who says Tatooine.
When in doubt, put somebody on Tatooine.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you want to get real, Tatooine was filmed in Northern Africa, which is Tunisia. So if you want to do Assassin's Creed North Africa.
Oh man!
By the way, Tunisia is where Carthage used to be before it was burned to the ground by the Romans.
Wow!
Thanks, Ash.
Yeah.
The more you know.
Tatooine's a real place.
Wow.
You mean they didn't fly to the mythical planet Tatooine and shoot that movie there?
No.
What?
This is back when George Lucas used real places and didn't just shoot in front of a green fucking wall. I'm not bitter.
The old days.
Yeah, the old days of reality. Next up on our list is our good buddy Justin Banks at Midtown 583. I think Justin may have the record for number of Nequato responses.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I think he's the winner. He says, I'd like the game to stay in the States in the Civil War era, and the new assassin fights for the Union. That may piss off half the country, but...
Yeah.
I thought there would be one with like Abraham Lincoln. That seems like the logical next step, doesn't it?
That Abraham Lincoln was an assassin, or he was like a mentor or something?
No, I mean, just to, if this current sort of thing were to continue, and like if Connor had a child or a grandchild or something, it seems like it would make sense to do that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I can definitely.
Everybody loves
that.
Lincoln. He's like the hotness right now. He's totally back in style.
And you make him do ridiculous stuff. So having him be an assassin, I mean, he fought werewolves.
Mm-hmm.
Or vampires. He was a vampire hunter. I don't think assassins too far out of the realm.
Yeah, he's also in the Assassin's Guild.
Yeah, there you go.
Killed by Templars. Totally makes sense. Game writes itself.
So. It does.
Good old. Well, the thing that would be good about having it in the 1860s would definitely be the cities would be much larger, which I think was one of the things that kind of detracted a bit from. Assassin's Creed 3,
mm-hmm.
like while New York and Boston were cool, none of the buildings were very high. You know, and I got to the point of traveling through the forest and stuff where I was ready to like claw my eyes out.
Yeah.
Especially when the snow was deep and like it looked beautiful and you're like trudging through the snow, but I'm like, oh my God, I've been trudging through the snow for 20 minutes.
Oh my God. If you didn't have a horse when it was winter, forget about it. You were done.
Yeah.
Forget about it.
It was so, so daunting. You're just like, when I was your age, I had to trudge through the snow.
Did that remind you of...
Uphills.
Uphills.
It reminded me a lot of Red Dead Redemption, all the weird hunting that you had to do. Like, when you had to kill bobcats in RDR. That was totally strange.
I am not a fan of Red Dead, so that's not good.
Yeah.
I remember you saying that on your podcast.
It's so boring. It's like so boring.
You don't like Rockstar stuff, though, right?
Yeah, not really. I mean, like, I liked L.A. Noir... I liked L.A. Noir pretty good, but I've never been a fan of like GTA.
Yeah.
Red Dead like started off okay, And then I started to get sense that it was like kind of boring. And then I got to Mexico and it's really boring.
Oh, the Mexico part
of the story is kind of too long. It was too long.
Yeah. Oh my God. So yeah, I just quit playing that game.
My thought was always at some point I would just shoot one of those guys in the head. I'd just be like, all right, I'm tired of running back and forth across the country of Mexico for you.
Yes, you're dead now.
I am done.
Renegade interrupt.
So do you guys have an answer?
I have a couple answers. I'll take mine
because I have an answer, and I think we have the same answer.
I don't know. We'll see. Well, mine would be female protagonist, younger. That's kind of what I want to see.
I think they're going to do that for sure.
Well, just because I honestly, people may be upset with me for this. I really didn't enjoy Connor. I thought he was boring. I didn't feel like he had any real emotional ties to any of the people that he really had relations with throughout the entire game. The people he got the closest to were his mentor near the end a little bit, but he was a dick to his mentor through the whole game.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, a total dick to his mentor. And then the people that lived on his homestead, he was cordial to, but there was never any real, emotion out of
that.
There
was no relationships building there, you know?
And that bugged me. So in terms of character, I'd like to see, like I said, a younger female, probably like, you know, 20, learning to be an assassin. That would be incredible. And I'd like to see World War One.
I think I remember I don't know if I brought this up before, but a long time ago during Assassin's Creed 2 era, there was a Facebook game that you could it was one of those things where you'd get so many turns,
yeah,
like per hour or so.
We played.
Yeah. And then you can dive into that and like expand your knowledge of like the story or whatever. But as it kind of died down towards the tail end of it, they released like an expansion for it. That was like a World War era expansion of like you exploring that time period in like a story form in the Animus. So I thought at the time that it was something that was possible or something they had at least considered, you know?
Yeah.
And it'd be great. I mean, when I saw it, I was like, wow, that's pretty fresh. I'm into that.
Yeah, I just think that I don't think there's ever been incredibly successful World War One game. I guess there's a game that was out for Steam called Ace of Spades. It was an indie game that a lot of people liked, which was a World War One game. But I don't think there's ever been an accurate kind of telling of that time period. So I'd love to see that.
Mm-hmm. So you're talking about a more in-depth like narrative thing, not like there's been Call of Duties in World War One.
Had there? I don't know.
There were two. Thought they were World War Two.
I thought World at War was World War One.
Yeah,
that was two. That was the Pacific campaign in World War Two.
Well, what was that silly game they used to play on arcade? 1942.
That'd be two.
Yeah. Damn it. they put out another one though, didn't they?
Did it go backwards in time 40 years? Because otherwise,
it might have.
I think definitely World War One's mine. What about you guys?
Mine ties into yours.
Does it?
Uh-oh. Yeah, I've said this before, and I will hold to it. Although I've added a new link to it because now I know who the bad guy would be. I want to do late 1800s Russia and have the enemy be Rasputin.
Whoa!
Ooh. So do like Romanov family, all that fun stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
That'd be super cool.
That would be really cool.
Because he is. The rumor is that he was assassinated, right? Rasputin.
Well, he was assassinated.
Right, right. So make him the... Well, it wasn't a rumor. Sorry. Yeah. The story is that he was assassinated. So
I read it in Star.
Ported. No, make him the, you know, along the lines of the...
The big bad?
The big bad, and have him... Be your target, your ultimate target.
That sounds pretty cool. Good.
Yeah. Russian.
See, that's not cool. That bell agreed with me.
Yeah. Whoever...
Right, exactly. That sounds good.
Good deal.
Nate, do you want to read the next one?
Is the next one the one from Anna?
Yeah.
Yes, then I'll read that one. She's ridiculous. So Anna Schumann, you may know her from Reset Transmission. She says, anywhere from 1840 to 1860, obviously. We need to travel the Oregon Trail with assassins because that's... if you can't Oregon Trail a game, Anna doesn't want to do it. Like, that's it. There has to be some sort of Oregon Trail type of component.
I'm sorry, your assassin has died from dysentery.
Right, exactly.
Game over.
Dysentery will kill them all. And then she also adds either that or 1997, because she's ridiculous, and if given the ability to time travel, she'd go back to, like, last week. She's ridiculous. She's so silly.
I never did understand the 1997 thing.
She thinks 1997 is like the greatest year in the history of ever. Like, it's like every good game came out in 97.
She a big Nickelback fan or something?
I have no idea, but it's completely ridiculous. Because I keep trying to tell her, 97's not even the best year, like, close to 1997. Like,
did The Crow come out by 1997? Because that would really influence my decision.
1996 is a far superior year.
Yeah.
So she's a ridiculous person, but I guess it's yeah. I think it's funny though, because, like, I'm just gonna throw my answer in here, because I'm kind of with Anna in that, not 1997 because that's too future, but I'd like to see something that's more like current. Like, I think it would be interesting to see Assassin's Creed in more of a almost like a Cold War-esque type of era.
Bay of Maybe. Pigs.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, totally. That would be really awesome. Like, around the Cuban Missile Crisis era, something like that, where there's lots of spies and things going on, and just, you know, set it in a more current time frame and have it be a little bit more about intrigue and stuff like that, not quite so assassiny, but I guess that's just I like that stuff.
And then they could call it Intrigue Creed.
Yeah, totally. I think that would work. And then that game sells itself.
You could have, like, spies and shit instead of, like, more, like, can you know, because, like, your Assassin's Guild, like, obviously everyone's an assassin, but all the other guilds that you normally interface with are also sort of combat-oriented guilds, so it might be cool to have spies to do something with.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
What if they said it in the near future and you're just a sentient drone?
We'll just call it Predator Drone Creed.
I think we add, you put all of the words together, it becomes Predator Drone Intrigue Assassin's Creed.
Man.
That was actually my snarky answer to your question, had something to do with that. That the Assassin's Creed game that I think they should make should be one that's set into the future. And instead of being able to call assassins, you could use, like, devices to control, like, traffic lights.
You just play a guy sitting in a chair using a control to...
Yeah, right.
Aren't you talking about Watch Dogs?
Yes, I'm talking about Watch Dogs.
I got it.
But
I just wanted to make a joke about gaming as a guy gaming, essentially. Yeah.
That's so meta. No, but my real answer would be that... I really like the stuff that happens in the modern time, and there was more of that in this game. And I really like to see that stuff. And it's cool because there's
You're
no
the
HUD when that happens
one,
either.
Man. You're the only one.
Really?
Do you mean to tell me that those scenes where you were playing as What's-His-Face, you liked those when you're, like, running around in Abstergo? And
yeah. Desmond? Yeah.
Oh, I couldn't fucking handle it. It looked so horrible.
Scott is married to Desmond.
Yeah.
I thought it was terrible.
He wants him.
The or maybe... Yeah. Maybe if there was more of that aspect of connections between the time periods, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I understand. And I totally respect your answer. I never identify with that character, and
I always like that character because you like slow walk.
They fixed that. They fixed that in the first one, since the first one.
Oh man,
that was brutal. I'm not gonna lie.
You're like running rooftops and doing all this crazy stuff. They're like, now slow walk for a little while and hit the Y button.
I want to play through Lucy Stillman's story. Can I do that?
I bet you want to play through Lucy Stillman.
Play right through it over and over.
Yeah. Broadcast. It's all about playing through. You know
I'm out.
You're like, Lucy, I have some tips for you. The tips.
Oh no. We'll just say the word vagina. That's all you have to do. That's where we're at.
Jesse Lamb at Axel 99 says Imperial China would be a great setting. Lots of political intrigue. The Shao Jun, right?
Yeah.
There's a rumor that the Great Wall, and of course the Shao Jun. There's a rumor of AC4 being in Brazil. Free running in rainforest sounds nice. Maybe we'll visit Machu Picchu in Peru.
That sounds cool.
Could be cool.
Could be cool.
I think the
could be more forests being reused from.
Yeah. That doesn't sound.
Guys, we've got this great tree model. Do you just want to do more of that?
Let's put a whole bunch of them, like, really densely populated together. Yes.
New ambient sounds, new game.
So Tara, I'm not going to try the last name because I'll get it wrong. But Tara says, what?
Chiselka?
Chiselka, there you go. Reading comprehension. She says, ancient Egypt, perhaps. But then again, I wanted to be an Egyptologist when I was little. I may be biased. This reminds me of Stargate, but I would like it.
It reminds Egypt's you pretty of Stargate?
Cool. Ancient Egypt, because it's like an alternate history ancient Egypt story.
All right, so last but not least on our Naquato is our good buddy, Robert Freemering, Mr. Slick. He says, feudal Japan, ninjas as sneaky as you blend in with the crowd like players do in multiplayer, but ninjas are targeting you. I love that idea.
Whoa, that's cool. Turn the tables.
Yeah, I like that idea a lot. I think that could be a lot of fun. I'm totally into ninjas. Well, guys, that about wraps things up for episode 92 of the Rated NA podcast. This week, we want to thank, of course, our surprise guest, Nate Hales, who was also surprised by appearing on our show because he had no idea that he was going to be on the show until we actually started recording the show. Also, another shout out goes to Hillary, who is not here this week because she had really bad dysentery from drinking some water down in South America. So
isn't she the big, like, the really big Assassin's Creed fan on this show? Yeah, Hillary played a lot.
She says she is. Yes,
she is.
She says she is. You're skeptical of her fandom.
She is a fan.
She's a very large fan of Assassin's Creed.
With dysentery.
She's not very large. She's a very large fan of the game.
Oh,
her fandom,
oh man.
Her fandom knows no bounds.
You are just digging a hole.
Her fandom knows no bounds. That's all I was saying.
You are in the doghouse, Hillary. Now she's not going to return your email.
I didn't say it. Scott was the one who implied it.
I was just clarifying your statement for you.
No. Don't say that I said it. I said that she is a fan, and then you implied that what I was trying to say was something else. So
okay.
It's Scott, Hillary.
I would just like to say
the longest outro ever.
I would just like to say that this was not my fault.
I would just like to say that you can find us on Facebook at @nerdappropriate, Twitter at @nerdappropriate, supposedly Google Plus. You can email us, right, Ash?
Yeah, you can email us, Ash, Matt, Hillary, 1L, or Scott at nerdappropriate.com. And, geez, big thanks always to Jimmy Hinson for our theme song. And Jimmy was actually on Nate's podcast, Reset Transmission, a couple weeks ago. Yeah. So go hear Jimmy's origin story, which is one of our favorites over on Reset Transmission. And subscribe to our podcast and subscribe to Nate's podcast, the Reset Transmission podcast, and his other podcast.
Team Banana Punch.
Team Banana Punch High Command is a lot of fun. I like
it. We've got a new member now.
Who?
Yeah, her name is Megan. So now it's me and three girls.
What?
Oh, my
God. I do two podcasts with five girls.
Well, cool, guys. We will see you next week with more Super Secret Surprise Guests.
Yay!
Yeah. I like how it turns into the Muppets at the end. Yay! Again! Awesome.
Are you gents ready to continue? Is everybody
sure, let's
back?
Do it.
Cool.
I don't know if Matt's back.
Oh.
I've been here the whole time.
Yeah, he never left.
Oh. I just got nothing to add to your stupid conversation. Jesus.